AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Hybrid, powered by Chingsi Media. All right, it's been a few weeks. Straight into Mikel Arteta's pre-Nottingham Forest presser. Mikel Arteta has been speaking to the media ahead of our return to Premier League action as we take on Nottingham Forest at the Emirates Stadium. The boss has been speaking about the fitness of our returning international stars, taking on the tricky trees and much more. Read our full transcript below with a video of the full press conference to come. On if he had some time off over the international break. Some time off. Some work done to review what we've done in the first part of the season. And then obviously watching all of the internationals play. Most of them had a very successful time with the national teams. Well, a few of them especially had really notable performances, namely Mikel Merino, Noni Madueke, to name but a few. It'll be interesting to see if Merino does start tomorrow, and if he does, where he starts, because he's been getting a lot of joy for Spain in centre midfield, where he played against Liverpool before the international break. So if you have Martin Zubimendi, who also played with him in his successful stint over the international break alongside Pedri, it'll be interesting to see the composition of that midfield, who misses out when you have the likes of Declan Rice, Martin Odegaard, who you could say is toiling right now. So me personally, as everyone's saying, the phrase everyone's saying these days, the new in phrase, I would probably put him in. He's on form, he's firing, he's confident. Put him in, give him a chance. At the expense of who? Move on. On if everyone came back from the international duty unscathed. It's very different to last season, so I'm very pleased with that. They had a lot of minutes, some very important impact as well in their games, and everybody's good. Okay, so that seems like good news. Obviously, this time last year, Martin Odegaard did get injured. We obviously had a few injuries going into the break with William Saliba, Bukayo Saka, Kai Havertz all going down. Obviously, Christian Mosquera came in for Saliba against Liverpool and looked good. Didn't look out of place, and I expect him to come in again tomorrow afternoon against Nottingham Forest. On the subject of the aforementioned players, on the latest fitness of Saka, Saliba and White, Bukayo's out and he's trying to get back as quickly as possible, but we need to respect that process. Willow trained today and the rest as usual. And Ben White as well. Ben's okay. Okay, that's interesting. So it looks like Saliba may play tomorrow. So that just goes against and undermines what I said about Mosquera starting tomorrow possibly. However, obviously I feel like this is mind games. He could say that and then Willow, as he referred to him, may not even be in the squad. But don't forget we also have a game on Tuesday. I think it's an early kickoff. When I say early, around 5:30, against Bilbao in the Champions League. So there's potential for one of them to start on Saturday and the other to start on Tuesday, with obviously the big game against Man City in mind on Sunday. As for Bukayo Saka, it looks like he's out of tomorrow, pretty much confirmed by Arteta. And Ben White looks like he is fit and raring to go, but obviously Jurrien Timber is going to prove to be, you know, difficult to dislodge from that right back berth. On what games we're targeting for Saka's return, let's see. He's evolving really well. With very specific work at the moment. The moment that we increase that load, let's see how he reacts. So obviously, as ever, Mikel Arteta's quite coy on Saka's return date. Obviously, we would like to ideally have him back for Man City. But even if he is back for Man City, would it be from the start? Because you would like to kind of get some minutes in the legs. So put it this way, if he doesn't get any time on the pitch against Athletic Bilbao, then it's probably unlikely that he will feature, well, from the start anyway, against Man City, especially with the form of Madueke in recent weeks. On Saliba, Willow trained today, so we'll have a decision to make whether we play him or not. It's very good news. Okay. So yeah, William Saliba looks like he's kind of, you know, in a good place physically, fitness-wise. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get in the team. Me personally, I think he's probably going to stick with Mosquera. On signing Hincapié, he's a player that we monitored for years and he became available. We had the departure of Yakub Kivior, and now we needed another player in that position who could upgrade what we had, play in different positions, play in different formations. He's a player that obviously has a lot of experience already at his age, so very, very happy to have him. Yeah, Piero Hincapié is a really good player. I've monitored him over the years at Bayer Leverkusen. He usually plays in a back three, on the left of a back three. But he reminds me of Ricardo Calafiori in the sense that he's got bags of energy and enthusiasm. He's marauding, got a lot of pace, got a lot of determination. He's gritty, got a lot of quality, most importantly. So he'll be vying for that two spots, the left-back spot with Calafiori and Miles Lewis-Skelly, as well as the centre-back spot when Gabriel's injured or when we're doing rotation. So, yeah, Hincapié is a immensely talented player, young player, ambitious, so it's a good addition to the squad. On if he's ready to play, he's ready to go. He's trained for only 2 days with us. He had a long travel with the national team, a very successful game at the end against Argentina. But overall, he's available. Well, yeah, so he ain't going to start that game because for many reasons, one of which is he played for Ecuador against Argentina. So a lot of traveling involved. He'd probably have a bit of jet lag. And then obviously you've got Gabriel to dislodge, which... put it this way, you're not going to dislodge Gabriel, a fit Gabriel. Gabriel starts every day of the week for any team in the league or world. Ange Postecoglou returning to the Premier League. With Ange, his biggest strength, in my opinion, is the way he's been. He has put his fingerprints on that team and he has a very clear way of playing. Very clear DNA and are extremely good to watch. I've learned a lot from him and it will be a very difficult game. Well, I mean, I think this is Arteta lavishing praise on his new counterpart, a former Spurs foe, Ange Postecoglou, who always wins a trophy in his second season, in his words, SIC. So it'll be interesting to see if you win something with Nottingham Forest in your second season, if you make it to it. But anyway, I think here Arteta's trying to kind of, you know, convince Postecoglou to continue his gung-ho, cavalier approach against Arsenal. Because if that does happen tomorrow, then yeah, Arsenal will be scoring a lot of goals in a victory, that's for sure. But yeah, no, it remains to be seen whether Ange Postecoglou will, you know, change up his style, especially in your first game, especially coming up against Arsenal away, and Arsenal reeling after a defeat against Liverpool in an early kickoff straight after the international break. You surely want to kind of feel your way in before you start implementing your style. But yeah, we'll see. We'll find out, I guess. On his adaptability with a new set of players at Forest, I don't know and I cannot control that. He's made the decision to go to Forest now because for sure he believes that with the players that he has, he can do what he wants to do and be successful again. He had very different expectations, and for a long time he was very clear about what he wanted to do with Ange there and the time that he had. It would be things that were different for sure. Well, in terms of Ange, if that's what he's referring to, Forest have a good group of players now. They're really, really good. They had a really successful and positive transfer window where they brought in the likes of James McAtee from Man City and I've gone blank, the young boy from Ipswich who used to play for Chelsea and Arsenal. So yeah, they've had a positive window. They also lost Elanga, so it's not gonna be easy, but obviously they'll build on the season they had last season with Murillo and Milinkovic at the back, and Elliot Anderson in midfield. So yeah, I expect Forest to be in and around mid-table, probably just missing out on Europe this season. Omari Hutchinson, that's it. I knew it would come to me. But yeah, there's a good group of players there. And obviously, the owner being Greek, there's obviously some kind of alliance with Postecoglou, who's got Greek origin. He's of the Greek origin. On how it changes our preparations for this game, you have to focus much more on yourself and improving and taking the game where you want to. Because at the end now, even if you know the manager, the scenario can change after 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 60 minutes. The flexibility and understanding and preparation that goes through now in the Premier League. So what you expect for 5 minutes is not going to be the same picture for 95 minutes. So that's what we prepare for every single game. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like Mikel Arteta's got to probably prepare for at least two eventualities, whether Ange does adopt his high-line approach, gung-ho attacking style of football, or goes a bit more conservative, more mid-low block, which he adopted in the Europa League final, which he won with Tottenham last season. So it depends, but we've just got to be able to, you know, horses for courses, really. I mean, we've got to have the personnel out there ready to, if it's toe-to-toe, go toe-to-toe and dislodge Forest. Or if it's breaking them down, wearing them down, and then eventually taking them apart like we did Leeds, then it's got to be that as well. We've got to just get the team sheet right, get the mentality right, move the ball quick, be more attacking than we have been in recent times, and I'm sure we'll have a positive result. On Edu now being at Forest, I was very happy with Edu. I think Edu did a tremendous job at this club, especially where the club was at the time when he joined, and he was a big part of that transformation of the football club. Then he decided to leave, and Andreas come in very different circumstances to the club and done an incredible job as well. It's not necessary to compare when you have two people at that level that are both so good. Well, yeah, he's alluded to Edu coming in where we were toiling in 8th place, struggling in that weird era post Wenger for about 2-3 years. But he steadied the ship, got us to a good level, challenging again. But arguably hit his ceiling. He's now gone to Forest. So he's only had one window to operate in. I would say we need to let things marinate, let the new players settle in, see what players do well. Because personally, I don't think Hutchison and McAtee can start in the same team, especially if you've got Morgan Gibbs-White there already, Elliot Anderson there already, players like that. So there's a lot of players there, but obviously they need a big squad for the Europa League campaign that they're going to be involved in this season. As for Berta coming in, he's brought in high caliber players such as Zubimendi, Jokeres, Eze, to name but a few. An amazing window for Arsenal, and long may it continue. On how he feels about our start to the season and our defeat at Liverpool, I wanted 9 points instead of 6. I think Arna explained the game really well after the game when he said that if we play 10 times, probably 8 times will be a draw. One will be for us and the one was for Liverpool, and the magic moment that decided that game. We want more. We want to win more of those games and review what we've done, and as well in the circumstances that we had, not only in the way that we play, but in other areas. There is still room to improve. That's very good because the team is already at a really high level. Well, it's interesting. I did hear that Arne Slot interview. But bear in mind, though, Arne Slot did say that, yeah, if we played that game 8 times, it'll be 8 draws, 1 win apiece. But we was away. They're champions. They've had a unbelievable transfer window. Their squad is at a high level. They're favourites for every competition they're in. So if we've gone over to their patch and played, well, some people say we played well, some people say we didn't have ambition. Well, that's for another video. But what I will say is, if we played at the Emirates, is it the same game? That's the question. And Arne Slot last season did reference the fact that he didn't feel any team outplayed Liverpool last season, with the exception of Chelsea. I disagree. I beg to differ when he did say that last season, because I felt at the Emirates we was the better team against them, but they came away with a draw. Just similarly in the game at Anfield, probably even game, probably we slightly shaded it, you know, probably a bit of both really. But for Arne Slot to say that is a big compliment, considering we're missing arguably our best player in Bukayo Saka. So, but I think we just need to get that result out of our system, use it to spur us on, if anything, and get the 3 points tomorrow. And on that subject, on if we wanted to play straight away after that game, yes, 100%. After a defeat, you want to have a game in the next 3 days. Get it out of the system. It is what it is. But at the same time, I look at the players' international duties and how they've grown. The role that they have in the teams. The impact that they're having in every single match. And I feel pride because they can lose a game and they can go to the national team. They can click again, perform, and most of them win. And they're very important in those wins. Yeah, that's true. I mean, especially for England, we had 4 Arsenal players in the England starting lineup against Andorra. We had 2 Spaniards at the heart of the midfield, and this is a team that they won the Euros. So, you know, that's just to name but a few. And obviously, if William Saliba was fit, he would have started for France against Iceland. And in the other fixture, which they won. So, yeah, that's obviously a positive that the players are on form, looking good, starting, having prominent roles. So, yeah, onwards and upwards. On how important it is to make the Emirates Stadium a fortress. That's what we want, and we had a really good game against Leeds. It's going to be a very different game against Forest for sure. But we kick off in front of our people after 10 days and we're looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, we played the penultimate game before the international break and we played the first game after it. So we play before Liverpool. It'll be good to get back level with them and give them homework to do against Burnley in a game which I fully expect them to win. But one thing's for sure, I expect us to win, and hopefully we do tomorrow. On if Mikel Merino's 4 goals for Spain put him in contention to play up front. He did it from the midfield. Mikel has that ability. I heard some comments after Liverpool that we played 3 defensive midfielders. I think that was the narrative, no? Mikel had his hat-trick playing as an attacking midfielder. I don't know when the last attacking midfielder scored 3 goals. So very interesting to learn what the perception is, especially when you lose a football match, and how important it is to analyse and understand your players' quality in order to make decisions that are based on what you understand daily, which is very clear as well. Well, I mean, Mikel Merino, which a lot of people refer him to as a defensive midfielder, then you could just, Arteta could have easily said, I don't know the last time a defensive midfielder scored a hat-trick. But let's put that to bed. Mikel Merino isn't a defensive midfielder. I know it makes for a good headline. Believe me, I know what makes good headlines. It makes for good headlines to call it 3 defensive midfielders. But with Rice, okay, you might get away with that even though he's more box-to-box. But it's probably better defensively, like more kind of natural defensively. Zubimendi is a defensive midfielder, but in terms of Mikel Merino, I think he's just a centre midfielder. Probably box-to-box-ish with more attacking instincts, with good on the ball, good finisher. So, yeah, I want to dispel that narrative as well. I mean, obviously, the 3 of those isn't the most inspiring in the world. You probably want an Eze or a Odegaard or a Wanyeri in there just to give it a bit more flair, but yeah, like I mentioned earlier, I would like to see Merino start, because scoring a hat-trick for Spain, I mean, he's going to be buzzing, really. Let's have it right. On if it's good to have Postecoglou back in the Premier League, very good. I think as a character, as a person, what he transmits, what he brings to football is a joy towards the team. I've always enjoyed it and learned from it. Very welcome to have him back. Okay, yeah, Postecoglou is a character. Remember, famous last words. I always win a trophy in my second season. Okay, well, your toughest job yet. Or should I say task? On if it's enough to have one style of play. What does that mean? Does that mean when they have the ball, when the ball is very close to their goalkeeper, when they're under high pressure, when they're in deep, when they have a throw-in? So it depends. People will answer the way of playing, the way of thinking, and they will trick things in relation to that. Try to maintain certain ways and a certain approach to the game that they want to play. Yeah, I want to just use this moment to kind of address the kind of narrative that's forming that we are a horrible, Stoke-like, awful, boring defensive team that rely on set pieces, throw-ins, corners. I just think we're kind of, horses for courses. I feel we're kind of, we've got different ways of playing. So I generally think we're a possession-based attacking side, but obviously we've found a way to be very hard to beat, and the base of that is really just having a good defensive shape, being good defensively, being hard to penetrate, to permeate through. But the vast majority of teams that we come up against are afraid of what we can do if you do give us space. Ask Man City, Sporting Lisbon and Crystal Palace, as well as West Ham, they'll tell you. But I think, yeah, tomorrow I'm anticipating a low block against our football, and hopefully, usually more often than not, an early goal against a low block kind of opens it up a bit, just like the game against Leeds. So if we can get one, when I say early, I'm talking first 20-25 minutes, then I think the game will be easier as a result. Although we've got to be wary of Forrest's pace on the counter attack. On his own DNA, we can go for a blood test. and then you can tell us. Okay, I think Arteta's being a bit facetious there. On Raya's record as our goalkeeper, pretty good. It's the best in the history of this football club. It's unbelievable. Very good to understand the game, and especially when a few months or years go by. It's really good to look back as well and reflect on that. It is not I, it is we. We did it. And with the help, I think he has a tremendous impact on the team. Okay, so Raya's record as the goalkeeper is best in history of the club. Okay, I'm going to fact check that. Probably is. So does that mean he's the best goalkeeper in history of the club? But no, all jokes aside, David Raya is undeniably, arguably, the best keeper in the Premier League. And if he's not, then that's only because of Alisson's previous form in recent years. But if you just want to look at performances and form over the last 2-3 years, I think it's pretty obvious and clear that Raya's performed the best in that space of time. Especially with his 2 Golden Glove Awards. I think he's actually underrated as well, because not a lot of people view him in that kind of top bracket, elite bracket of goalkeeper. Because for me, he's definitely top 10 with the likes of Courtois, Alisson, to name but a few. Donnarumma as well. On if Madueke's form provides a selection headache when Saka recovers from injury. I hope so, yes. When that day comes that Bukayo Saka is in his best condition and Nonny the same. That's what we want, and I'm very happy to have him. I think looking back at what he's done with the national team as well, I've spoken with Thomas Tuchel as well. Very pleased with that. So he's really good. He's in a really, really good moment. Yeah, I mean, as I did allude to in a number of early videos on this channel, Nonny Madueke was exactly what we needed. A direct, pacey winger who's not afraid to lose the ball, who's not afraid to keep going despite, you know, he may go at a defender, lose the ball. He's not afraid to go at him again. You know, he's not afraid to fail. He's very direct, looking to kind of attack the fullback, beat the fullback. But one thing with Madueke, we need numbers for him. We need goals, assists, goals, assists, goals, assists. Because his ability is all there. On how Havertz is getting on with his injury. He's looking really good. He's walking freely. He's starting to load the knee and started to do some bits. As I said before, I think we're taking it from weeks to months. But knowing Kai, I cannot give you any time scale because I know what he's going to try to do. Same with Gabby Jesus. So I think he's in a good moment. It was a very tough decision for him to go and have that procedure done. But I think it was necessary, and it was the right decision from the medical team to persuade him to do that. So yeah, I've seen a few videos of Gabby Jesus. There's one in his channel, go check that out. And he's looking like he's very close to coming back. Like, probably a month or two should be looking at getting onto the bench and hopefully coming on pitch, because he's running, he's kicking the ball. He's looking sharp as well. And in terms of Kai Havertz, he's probably going to need to take some time out, get himself proper fit. He might have rushed himself back at the end of last season. That might have contributed to his recurrence of his injury now. So he just needs to kind of take time out, make sure he gets back fit properly ready this time. And then obviously, because yeah, we're fine in the meantime. We've got players like Jokeres, Marino to step in. Martinelli could potentially play there. So yeah, it's just important that we get these players ready. On the competition for places in the squad, I'm happy because at the end, through the summer, through the pre-season, there are a lot of unknowns and players that don't really understand their role, their future. And at the end, we have managed to accomplish what we wanted. We've taken the opportunity as well to say thank you to some of the players that left us after a few years and a great contribution to the club and the team. We wish them all the very best, and now we have clarity. This is the squad that we have here listed until January, and are very pleased with it. I think this is the best and strongest squad I've... In terms of depth, it's the strongest squad I've seen as an Arsenal fan, and that's spanning a long time. In terms of quality, first 11, it's up there. May not necessarily be the best, but it's probably in a, comfortably in the top five. Yeah, we've just got depth all over the pitch. We've got competition for places. And yeah, we've got the strongest squad in the league. So there's no reason or excuses to not be looking at winning trophies this season. On discussions around contracts of Saka and Saliba, that never stops. But I think the collaboration between the club, what Andrea Berta is doing, and the agents is very good. I think the good thing is that the players want to remain here and they want to be a big part of the history of this club in the next few years. And that is always positive. And Andrea will drive that and see where we go. I think I've seen and heard both players effectively want to stay at Arsenal. We're building a good thing right now. There's something going on at Arsenal where a lot of players want to join the club. But we just need to kind of get over that line so we can kind of convince these players that they're in the right place to win major honours, to reach their potential and to become legends at this great football club. On if Saliba trained today, yes, he trained today. Okay. On if there's room for a joker in an Arteta team, I don't know if there's room for a joker in the society, in this industry, in football right now. I don't know if that will be respected and viewed as something positive. I think the credit as well went to former Chicago Bulls coach Phil Jackson for how he managed Dennis Rodman's personality. You can name it as you want it, but when he had to compete, he helped him to win major trophies and he was instrumental in that. Phil managed to deal with his character in a really smart way to get the best out of him. We have 19 different nationalities, 26 different players, so we have to live with them to get the best out of them. Well, jokers, I don't think the kind of culture in this Arsenal team is jokery. However, if I was to kind of picture their personalities and think of who is the joker in quotation marks, I can see a Declan Rice maybe. I can see potentially a Madueke having a laugh with some of the young lads like Ethan, you know, even Declan Rice. But I think on the whole, it's more of a driven, focused kind of vibe that I'm getting, especially with people like Saka, Saliba, Gabriel, Timber. They're just poker faced out, driven, ready to win, move on. On if there's space for someone who does things a bit differently on the pitch like Rodman, especially when he's effective, and then what he had to do in the team, he was the best in the league. So you have somebody that does something different to help you win football matches, it's more than welcome. So yeah, it's just, as I alluded to, just about being driven and just target driven, really, just to get results. So as long as you're getting results, the personality is secondary. On why there's a negative perception of us from the Liverpool game, I don't know, because I don't read that. But after reviewing the match and analysing it, it's a very different perspective to the one that I have in relation to that. You have to respect every opinion, but in the end, the opinion is going to be different whether you win or lose. That's it. You have to accept it. Well, I mean, Arteta earlier on in the press conference said that he said he saw something about us playing 3DMs. So I think he did read it or see it. But in terms of watching back the tapes of the game, it just goes back to the overall kind of debate of were Arsenal too defensive in the players person in the personnel that played that took to the pitch at Anfield, or did we kind of manage the game well, kind of, which the game plan was effectively to get to 60, 70 minutes still in the game and then bring on the techie players like Eze, Wanyeri, Dalman, Odegaard to kind of either win the game or salvage something from it. So it depends on what side of the fence you fall on. Also, another thing is, we went 2-3 years without losing against the big six, playing this hard-to-beat style. So why change now all of a sudden against Liverpool at Anfield, the champions, open up and risk losing when you could be tight defensively, keep things tight, hard to beat, control the game, and then nick the goal? We did all of the above apart from the latter, which is the crucial and the most difficult thing to do in football, which is to score. On if we're in a better position than we were last season after the first international break? Yes, for sure. I think that's why we've done it, because last year we were much shorter, especially in certain positions, and now I think we have better depth, better quality, better options as well, because some players can play in two or three different positions, which is great to have and is going to give us very different options. Yeah, that's for sure. Last season, the squad was nowhere near as strong as it is now. The window was awful, but now we have got a strong squad. I think I've heard a few people say the B team will get in top seven and stuff like that. The B team's amazing. I won't go that far. I think the B team's really good. I would say the B team will beat other B teams, but I'm not sure about top seven. And I think our top A will comfortably beat our... I think our A team will beat our B team for sure, comfortably. And if it's hard to anticipate what we'll face from Postecoglou's Forest before the game, yes. But the moment the game starts, after 5 minutes, we will see very clear behaviours, what they want to do, and that's what we have prepared. Yeah, like I said, Arsenal just need to prepare for a few different styles and obviously adapt to that accordingly. On if Liverpool signing Isak changes the title race, well, they are the strongest for sure. They have recruited probably the two most decisive players that were in Europe on the market, and they've done really well to recruit them. They were very strong. I think we need to look at ourselves and what we have to do in terms of our abilities to be better than them. So obviously he's referring to Florian Wirtz and Alexander Isak signings, who are about 250 between them. But obviously he's giving them the pressure and saying that they're favourites for the league. On how to tackle players going through rises and peaks before their output goes down. That normally happens as well, especially with attacking players in relation to what they have provided. But that's a very volatile thing, and you have to recognise that. First of all, look at yourself, see if you are doing something that is not helping their qualities or to get in a position that they can express better or have a better chance to exploit their qualities there. Then communicate with them as well. It's something quite normal in football, especially for an attacking player that have to create these moments. So yeah, I think people at Madueke would like the ball a certain way. People like Eze would like the ball a certain way. So like Madueke might like to run onto the ball, whereas someone like Eze wants the ball to feet from deep so he can kind of travel the ball and bear down an opponent's goal. So it's just about getting the relationships between the players. So for instance, Calafiori and Eze kind of getting used to playing with each other, getting used to their tendencies and preferences and so on and so forth. On if there's a fear of overcoaching a player, it can be, or coaching them badly. It's like communication on the pitch. You can say, no, I want you guys to coach, but coach well, because coaching badly is a terrible thing to do. It's better not to coach and be on mute than coach badly. That's always a line that is very important. Well, put it this way, no coach will say that they're coaching badly, so that's the thing. You know what I mean? So everyone's got to have belief in themselves, in their source, that what they're doing is a positive thing. So this overcoaching thing, it's only the outsiders are going to level that at Arteta. On how impressive Madueke has been for Arsenal in England, I can talk about what I've seen and what I have experienced, and I think the welcome that our supporters gave to Nonny from day one was incredible. So I don't know all the ways that people communicated the disagreement with that. But our supporters, they've been exceptional, and rightly so, because he's an unbelievable player. Yeah, I feel like Nonny's an untapped talent, and I think there's levels which he can reach. You know, he's a young man, I think he's 23 years old, so I think the more he plays, the more he plays with Timbo, Ben White, the more he can kind of get a relationship going with them or him and just build his confidence. I feel like, yeah, as I said earlier, goals, assists, that's what we need. On how difficult it will be to stop Liverpool this year. It's not about Liverpool, it's about the league in general and how difficult it's going to be with the level that it is to be so consistent and win the amount of matches you need to earn the right to win the Premier League. That's going to be a really long run for all of us. Well, yeah, Liverpool are rightly so the favourites, especially with their signings. They beat us a few weeks back, and also their current champions. However, we need to focus on our job. Last season, we only lost 4 games, but we drew over 10. And a lot of those were to the so-called low block sides. So it's fair to say, it's obvious where we need to improve. We brought in extra flair with Eze, Madueke, and so on and so forth. So it's just about kind of integrating those players in the team, assimilating them with the tactics, and kind of just letting them express themselves, especially Eze. On Gabriel Jesus being left out of the Champions League squad, he had major surgery that was going to take him many, many months. So, after discussing that with the medical staff and understanding the schedule that we have had, and when we thought that he could be available, that would be between December and January, we decided to make that call, like we've done in the past with other players. Hopefully we did it wrong and he comes back earlier, but at the moment the provision was very clear. So I think, yeah, the fact that we could leave a player of the quality of Gabby Jesus is testament to how the squad is right now, how strong the squad is. I mentioned earlier in this video that I thought Gabriel Jesus looks like he's ready to almost make a comeback in the next month or so. Arteta's mentioned December, January. I don't think Gabriel Jesus would feel the way, because if you actually watch the video on my channel, you'll see it in his face that he's ready. He's trying to come back ASAP. He ain't trying to wait till December. So if I'm going to predict, I think October, November, the latest, I'd say October, I think we could see him in a matchday squad in October. So that being said, he should probably feel slightly disappointed that he isn't in the squad. On if he'll be back around December to start training with the team, it was around that time, the schedule that we had. It's been me, Hybrid, powered by Chingsy Media, and we're signing out.